our stadium, our environment, the city rallies around you, and you can just feel their strength, and it's so important to our team.
All right, so how many shows have we done now, Joe, here with the Gus Bradley Show? Okay, this is show number 8, and I've never started with the quarterback.
Here we go, Lars.
And so today,
well, let's go.
We'll
Matt.
Start with a quarterback. Fans want to know, you had change this week. Why not Blake Bortles this week?
Well, I think you take a lot of factors into it, and you sit down and you get a chance to, you know, when we go through personnel, we talk about everybody, we talk about every position, we look at it all, and we looked at Chad's performance, and we looked at just the pressures and the things that took place, and there wasn't a lot of discussion about, hey, Blake comes in this week, or should we do that? It was more of a sense, okay, we've got to have some stability here, we've got to get things calmed down a little bit with the young receivers, and it's not like that. I think that, you know, it wasn't a terrible bunt. I mean, there's 15 mistakes. I've kind of made that known. But there were some good things, too. But we just got to get them in a world where we take the craziness out of the game. And I think that Chad brings a lot to that. And I think they feel his strength.
Yeah, because I think, the talk of Jacksonville. I mean, really. I mean, it really is. You know, because that's what fans do. And it was interesting this week, doing other radio shows, et cetera. They always want to know, fans want to know, and asking me, expert, okay, how many of those 10 sacks were on Chad, and how many throws could have been better and sacks avoided, et cetera, et cetera. And my explanation was, I said, here's what I think, but here's the truth. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, having played the game for 10 years, having covered the game, and I'm dating myself here, for another 16 years or whatever it is, you don't know a lot of times unless you actually know the playbook. You know, and fans now have access to the All-22 tape.
Right.
And so there's a lot of experts out there in fandom. And so it's hard sometimes, isn't it, to hear that noise. And do you hear that? I mean, from people that are so-called experts saying, well, here's what happened and all that.
No, we don't have a lot of time to pay attention to it. But I think the big thing is, first of all, there's a broad statement that if a sack occurs, all 11 people are responsible for it. Now, that's pretty cliche-ish. And you say, okay, now cut the crap. Let's get to it and really what happened. Well, there was some protection issues, obviously. And, and that involves the offensive line, the tight ends, the backs, and the quarterback and the receivers. It involves everybody. And I think what you expect from a quarterback is in those situations, you hope that, with timing, when he gets to his fifth step or his third step, he can throw the ball, get out of there, even at times before the pressure gets there. But you got to rely on some things. You do have to rely on the receivers. But as we looked at it, it was difficult to see because there were some misassignments by everybody on some of those plays. And it just looked really difficult for Chad to make any other decision than he really had no time to make any other decision than to get sacked. Mm-hmm. And as I looked through it, I thought a lot of them were those situations. Now, in talking to Chad, he said, there's a couple of them that I think if I had it over again, I would do something different. I could see the Mike linebacker walked up in the B gap and the edge is short. I should anticipate that rush could get to me quickly and I have to, have a quicker decision. So, those are good thought process by him. And but a lot of those things is tough to say that Chad could have got out of them.
And as part of the reaction to that game in Washington, Cam Bradfield is released. And then Sam Young is going to be your starting right tackle this week. Luke Bowanko is going to be the starting center. And a lot of people say, well, boy, they sure did make a lot of changes. And my answer to fans was that that's not surprising because Sam Young in the last preseason game, I thought had an opportunity to start in the opening week because of his performance against the Atlanta Falcons was very strong. And Luke Bowanko was right in the mix throughout training camp. And he had, an ankle injury, a thigh injury, and he wasn't quite completely healthy. So in reality, is it really that much change?
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, we want to give Jock an opportunity in there. We hold him in high regard. We think highly of him. But we just felt now Luke is healthy. We saw him practice. And we think that, you know, each of them have their traits, but we liked what Luke could bring to the table. He's got some inexperience, but his size, his quickness, his athleticism are all traits that we're looking for. So that's why we made that decision. And then at the right tackle, Sam, you're right. He did perform well in preseason. Cam did a nice job for us last year and did some good things in preseason, but it was just that consistency that we're looking for, and it came back to Sam and giving him that opportunity.
And a lot of people want to talk about those changes, but you know, one of the questions that comes to my mind is when you go to game day, typically you have 7 offensive linemen active, you know, and Cam had some value as a swing guy. And now that he's gone, my first reaction is, okay, who's going to be the swing guy? Well, there's a rookie that went to James Madison, Josh Wells, that actually showed some really nice progress in preseason. Will he be a swing guy, or is Austin Pasdor and that fractured hand that he had capable of being an emergency backup?
Right. Well, first of all, let's talk about Austin. He practiced, and he did pretty good today. You know, we just got to see how it goes tomorrow and with his hand and what we can expect from him. If it's not the case of Austin, then you're right. Josh Wells, he did a nice job in preseason, had a little bit of a shoulder injury, bounced back from that, but we were really pleased with his progress. And I think that, you know, you sit there and go, well, here he is. He's a backup and he's a rookie. Well, we're already starting rookies, you know.
Right.
So, and we have faith in them. That I just think that with that offensive line, what I'm excited about, yeah, we went through a tough day and some things happened. But I do trust them and I do know how competitive they are. And, you know, they felt some pain. But I know they're going to bounce back. I just, like I said, I have so much faith in them. We're going to be better this weekend, and some things will happen, and we'll adjust to them. But I just like their mindset and how they have a mentality to attack. And I think you would go into a game like this with that group because of their strength.
How is offensive line coach Luke Butkus handling all this? You know, I mean, it's his first year as an offensive line coach in the National Football League. And before we get to that, how is George Yarno, who is your offensive line coach, doing?
Right. Well, you know, he's going through a tough time, you know, with the cancer. And you know, I have not talked to him now for a little bit of time. And, you know, I need to reach out to him. I know our other coaches have visited with him. And, you know, I think you got to keep things in perspective. It's important to stay in touch with them. But we're with him on this battle. I know that we all have, you know, things that are on our mind right now, but we can't forget about what he's gone through and how much support he needs from us.
Kind of makes giving up 10 sacks not so big.
Well,
know, when you think
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, you're right. You know, there's a dose of reality. But, you know, let's do both. Let's have George beat this, and let's not give up 10 sacks. You know, I think that would be the best world.
Yeah. And so how is Luke Butkus handling all that? I mean, I know he gets got a lot of great respect in the locker room, also amongst your coaches.
Well, I think what I've seen in our locker room is I thought we had a tight locker room, but I've seen it become even tighter. And I think that, you know, the defensive line is challenging the offensive line challenging the defensive line, and you know, all the position groups. And that's what you'd hope. You'd see them come out of this and have that spirit and have a really good practice Wednesday. And it was good practice, but today was even better. And that's what I love about our team. They're extremely competitive, and they've got a lot of pride. And they're excited about our opportunity on Sunday.
Because I've been on a couple teams to where when one side of the ball is struggling mightily, it can be a little bit adversarial. You know, defense versus offense. Hey, you guys need to start doing something. This past week, the defense struggled too, so it's kind of hard to, you know, that finger pointing. But, I mean, does that – you talked about a group, you know, kind of coming
right
together.
Well, I've seen this. I know the defensive side has stepped up and said, you know what, we can do more. We got to get back to doing what we do, and we've got to give the offense opportunities with series. We got to get takeaways. We got to get sacks. We got to get off on third down. It's our responsibility to get the offense more opportunities. Excuse me. And the offense is doing the same. Hey, we can't have three and outs. We got to take advantage of scoring opportunities. So it's not pointing the finger. It's more taking responsibility and holding themselves accountable. Mm-hmm. And that's when you know that you've got something special. We just need to show that specialness on the field.
Lost Mercedes Lewis 6 to 8 weeks. explain what happens when a player goes on the designated IR, which is almost like a, I guess, a baseball disabled list for a short period of time. So is he on that IR list for 6 weeks, and then he can play at any point after
8 weeks? Yeah, he can come back, and he cannot be involved. He can't practice for that time frame, but he can be around the building and helping our guys. And then there's the IR, where you put them on IR and they're out for the whole year. So you have one spot that you can designate one player to be on the designated to return. And for us, that's Mercedes Lewis. That spot is taken now. Mercedes has it. And, anything else that occurs now that, knock on wood, that's a 10-week injury or 8-week injury, that's some tough decisions because you're almost forced now to put them on IR.
So you lose him for 6 weeks, and then he can begin practicing after that point.
Well, yeah, so you're generally looking at 8 weeks.
Okay, so it's 8 weeks, you're pretty much not going to have him.
Right.
Okay.
And then then he comes back and then he gets back in the team, but he's here working out with us, and he gets an opportunity, he stays up to date on all the the new nuances of the offenses we're doing or any offensive plays. He has a great feel for the team and what we're going through, and he comes back ready to go.
If you were commissioner of the National Football League, and he's having a tough time right now, but just on this specific issue, would you like to see maybe more spots that were open for some kind of designation like that? Because there's such a big emphasis on player safety. If you've got a guy that you're going to miss for 7 weeks, I mean, why not have two? Why not have three? Why not have four spots just like what you're able to use on Mercedes Lewis?
Right. Well, because when you put him on this list, you gain a roster spot. All of a sudden now teams would start saying, well, he's got a 2-week injury, let's put him on that. He's got a 3-week injury, let's put him on that. And you start getting other players off of other teams. And if everybody does that, you got to be careful because they don't want, some teams will try to take advantage of it and stack up their team. There's rules that keep that from happening, but I think that would be the perception. That would be what they're leery of.
But if you had your choice, as a coach, because when you're a coach, you want to have all your guys. And if they're hurt, be able to put them on a shelf for a little while and then bring them back when they're ready to go. But wouldn't you like to have, let's say, three
right.
spots?
Well, I'd say, if you could have a couple just so that, but there's also that competitiveness because as an organization, Dave and I, we sit down and go, should he be the guy that we put on that list or should we wait? And, you have some guys that might have 3-week injuries and you're forced to make a decision. Do you put them on the designated to return, the IR there, or do you, wait and sit out the injury? And it forces organizations to make some decisions. They try to base it off facts, but sometimes other teams gain a competitive advantage because of it. So that part of it is cool because it's really based on the decisions you make.
All right, when we come back, I want to ask you how you replace a guy like Mercedes Lewis. Holy cow, that's not easy to do. One of the best blocking tight ends in the National Football League and certainly a viable receiver in the passing game as well. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Jaguar fans, do you want a photo or tweet on the massive new Jaguars video boards? Hashtag JagsGameDayLive and be a part of the game experience. The social drive brought to you by the Nimnik family of dealerships. And we're back here on the Gus Bradley Show. All right, Gus, so we talked about the injury to Mercedes Lewis, high ankle sprain. Very unfortunate injury. To be honest with you, I wish that play you had a little bit more aggressive attack by the guy that got pushed back into Mercedes. Just a little tease. That'll be on Jaguars.com film room Friday. But injuries happen, and you got to move on next man up. Because of that situation at that position, Clay Harbor hasn't been available much. Is he close to returning? What's his status?
Well, we're bringing back. He's got to go through a return to play protocol, and he did some running today and blocking on a sled, but he's really progressing good. So we'll take a look at him tomorrow and see just how he comes back from working out today, and just keep an open mind with him. We'll see.
So you've got Mickey Schuler Jr., who you guys acquired off of the Atlanta Falcons waiver wire, and that was right before opening week.
Sure.
You elevate Marcel Jensen from the practice squad. does Jed Fish have to adjust the game plan? Because, I mean, you got two tight ends, basically, that are going to be available on game day, and one guy is waiver wire acquisition, and the other guy just brought up off the practice squad. Does that limit an offensive coordinator?
Well, I think that you try to put the guys in the best position possible. So you have to take everything into account. You know, your receivers, your offensive line, the running backs, the quarterback, you know, the tight end spot. And you really pare down your game plan anyway each week. But I think it forces you to be, what can you work on during that week that they feel good about? And there's even some plays, Logs, that at the end of the week we'll cut out, Chad, what do you feel good about? What don't you feel good about, on the receivers and the tight ends? And, by the end of the week it might even shrink even more.
To kind of expand on what you just said right there, hey, Chad and Jed will meet kind of end of the week and maybe talk about what he feels comfortable with. A quarterback schedule is very different than anybody else on the team, isn't it? As far as first part of the week, the game plan, the communication with the starting quarterback, what is a work week like for Chad and Jed Fish and Frank Selfo, the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach?
Well, I can tell you they meet. Obviously Chad meets a lot with Frank, and they watch tape together along with Jed. And then there's individual meetings with Frank. There's individual meetings with Jed. And then Chad meets with the receivers individually. He meets with the tight ends individually. And the offensive line, communication with them. So, yeah, a lot more meeting time, a lot of more one-on-one time that takes place with a quarterback probably than any other position group.
Because I know that when I was in New York, Kenny O'Brien, the head coach at that time was Joe Walton. Very complex. It was the offensive system was based on memory. It didn't have a lot of rhyme or reason or system to it. It was just memorization to understand the plays. And Kenny used to come in on Tuesday, which is a player's day off. He would come in on Tuesday, get the game plan so that when he came into the building on Wednesday, then he was basically, he could help coach and he could help get guys lined up. Is that something that happens?
Sure. A lot of times they come in early Monday morning and, sit down and go through it with Jed. That you're talking about like the West Coast offense where they would put, all the calls up on the grease board and they would just, go through all the board all the way around them and just memorize the calls. And similar in that the quarterbacks have to know the calls, understand it. So they have meetings on Monday morning. They go watch the tape. They come back. They have a little more meetings. On Tuesday, they get, something emailed to them and they take a look at that so that when they come in, Wednesday morning, they already have a pretty good idea of the game plan.
And is Blake Bortles a part of all of this too?
Yes, he's a part of all that. Okay. He's in there and he meets with all of them and has that one-on-one time as well.
All right, let's go to the phone line, folks. If you want to get in, 1-800-355-NFL1 or 904-355-NFL1. Let's go to Jason, who is downtown. He's got a question about the quarterbacks. Imagine that. Good evening,
hey, guys,
Jason.
And Jeff, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure. What's up,
hey,
Jason?
From a fan's perspective, I just don't want to start a rookie quarterback on the road first game of the season, but we've got so many young guys that are playing on the offensive line, at wide receiver, and different. We talk a lot about chemistry and continuity. It just seems like if, all of those guys are going to have to grow up together, why aren't we, letting Blake have the opportunity to grow with them as well and develop that chemistry and camaraderie that we're going to need from him in the future as well as the other guys?
Okay. No, that's great. It's a great question. I think a couple things that are involved in this, and I completely understand our fans and with this whole decision. I think that as coaches, we see them every day. We're a part of what they do every day, and we have a pretty good feel what's going on. And we really like how Blake has progressed. You're exactly right with that. But I think for us as a coaching staff, it's our obligation to put players in when they have the best opportunity to succeed. And each individual player is different. And sometimes it's your hand is forced, and other times you can kind of go with it. And I think example like Luke Boenko, well, we're not going to put him in there for his first time when he's got a bad ankle. I mean, that's not giving him the best opportunity to succeed.
You're talking about opening day against Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah. That's not the best thing for him and, for his confidence and thing. So I think we have that general philosophy that, hey, let's give them an opportunity when we think they have the best opportunity to succeed. And I think right now that's how we took, put the whole thing together with the quarterback situation back when we started OTAs. We want to, go through this whole process and then, you know, keep evaluating Blake. And then once we feel like he's got the best opportunity to succeed and that things are coming together and, you know, all right, he's ready to go. We understand that. Now let's base it off how Chad's doing.
Okay. All right. Good explanation. I like it. When we come back, I want to talk about the wide receivers and how that group may get a little bit of a boost this week and maybe eliminate some of those mental errors that you had talked about earlier in the week. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
A photo of your students' breakfast could give them the chance to meet the Jaguars. Post on Twitter and tag at Jags Promotions or visit jaguars.com/breakfast by September 19th to enter. Sponsored by Fresh for Florida Kids. You know, all that Twitter and tag and I'm up to date on all that kind of stuff, Gus. Did you know that? You're shaking your head, Joe. Yeah, I'm not exactly up to date on that. All right, talked about the wide receivers, Cecil Shorts. Is he going to be available to play this week? A possibility?
Yeah, I think it's a strong possibility. He, you know, he had a good practice today, and we're still limiting his reps. And I think, you know, after 2 days now, we'll see how he comes back tomorrow and how he feels.
How do you control reps? Do you do something each week as far as okay? Here's X number of plays he gets to get on Wednesday, and here's X number of plays on Thursday, and then let's shut him down on Friday. Is there a book or a manual that you guys follow on that?
We're trying to create
return
a book.
To play yeah. protocol that you always refer to?
We're trying to create a book, I think. You know, you take a look at it, and you take, you know, has he had an injury? Yes, he's had an injury. He's coming back from an injury. Okay, let's limit his reps. Let's bring him back slowly. Maybe he gets 2 reps a period. And then, okay, he did fine the first day. Let's go up to 4 the second day and see how he handles that. And then, you know, also you hear a lot of the talk about the GPS and how important that is. And, you know, we've been doing it for – this is our second year now. They might have been doing it before I got here, but what I've been accustomed to. And I think we're learning it. It's helping with our players. That's something that we can control, the GPS. We can look at their stats and see how it's going. What we can't control is, you know, their sleep, their nutrition, their hydration. We hope to. We talk to them about it all the time. We monitor it. But, you know, there's other factors that go into it. So, you know, if the player's healthy, we just go as is. They get, you know, 4 or 5 reps every period, and then we just move on from there.
Can he help that young group? I mean, just with his presence on the practice field and in particular on game day?
Well, we took Cecil last week, and I thought he was a great help. He was really good. They came to him, and obviously Coach Sullivan on the sideline. But there's nothing like being on the field out there playing with them. And that's what I've seen this week. You know what? It was, you know, we talked about the mental errors the receivers had, and we challenged them on it. And, you know, we kind of shocked them with some of the comments. And it was with the hope to see how would they respond. And I think Jerry Sullivan did a great job. He gave him some real tough love. And the players, the whole position group, really responded on Wednesday. And it doesn't surprise me. You knew they had the competitiveness. It's just our job to keep them connected with the vision we have for them. And, you know, they responded and had 2 good days.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and bring up Andrew at the beach. He's got a question about health. Good evening, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm praying for the team. You know, I'm praying for world peace, too. I'm saying a rosary, but I, you know, always keep them in my mind because I know that prayer can definitely heal and any of the ones that are injured. And, you know, I left the game, you know, watching it in Orlando with my son a little distraught, but my dad always taught me, you know, there's always tomorrow. And us as fans, we need to be positive. We need to know we're coming to our home turf. We need to bring it. It's just going to be an incredible experience to be back out there and cheering for the Jaguars. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm bringing it Blake Bortles style.
That's great. You know what? I've always learned. My folks always told me, you know, hope and a friend of mine told me that hope has two daughters. One is anger, and the other one is courage. You know, anger for the way things are, mm-hmm. and courage for the way things they ought to be, you know, or where they're going to be. And so I just kind of think of that with our fan base. They have tremendous hope, and I know that the daughter, anger, might show up because they're angry for the way things are. So I completely understand it. And I just think that we have to show the courage and to say, hey, we're going to get it to the way they ought to be. And that's how our team feels, and I think they take that strength. And I know that in our locker room, our guys have great faith in each other and great camaraderie, and there's not a doubt in my mind that we'll grow through this.
As a head coach, you probably look at being 0-2 and, you know, hope and anger and what was the other one?
Courage. Okay. Don't anger, forget about courage. That one, Lodge. Okay.
The two daughters, anger and courage, yeah. We're talking about hope. That as a head coach, I mean, it's probably you look at it as a challenge to fight through something like this and maintain the focus of a football team.
It is a great challenge. You know, obviously we'd all like to be 2-0. I understand that. But we're not going to shy away from this. And we know that, hey, we want to get some changes taking place. And so we stay strict on how our teachings are. We have accountability. And we challenge our guys out of their comfort level. And then, you go through some good times. You go through some tough times on this journey. And we don't want to miss any of it. We want to take it all in because I think that's what makes a team so special to be a part of. And a lot of these guys in the locker room, they just want to be a part of something special. And that's why a lot of the guys came here. The guys that we drafted, they had that mentality. And we're just fortunate to work with a bunch of guys like that.
Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little defense. Defense that gave up 41 points against the Washington Redskins. Everybody wants to talk about quarterback and offense and 10 sacks and talk about 41 points when we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com. Back here on the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Logman and the head coach. Let's go to McAllen, Texas, and bring up Mike. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Coach, my question is about Allen Hurns. Week one, he started off like gangbusters that first half, and has struggled a little bit since then. What do you say to a young guy like that who obviously wasn't drafted and he's fighting to make sure he can stay on the team and stuff like that?
Well, I think you keep encouraging him. He's got ability to make a lot of big plays for us in his future. And, he started off strong, like you said. And, sometimes unfortunate things happen. No one feels more sick than him on the one pass play. But he'll bounce back. We've got great confidence in him, great trust in him. And I think that's what he senses from us as a coaching staff and the rest of his teammates, that they have great faith in him. And you know what? Some things happen like that. And, we're more interested how he bounces back. And his character is unbelievable. Strong, strong competitor. And, he won't flinch, and neither will we, about his talent that he has.
How's he doing health-wise?
He's doing good. He's coming back, and we'll see. This will be a decision that may take some time, but we'll take a look at how he comes in tomorrow.
Mike, thanks for the call. All right, the defensive question that I had brought up before we went to a commercial break. You got a veteran side of the ball, which is the defensive side, and the offense is under construction. Everybody knows that, or should know that. Defensively, though, more veteran. I don't want to say established, but guys that have established themselves in this league for the most part. Disappointed in them?
Well, I look at it, and obviously to give up 41 points, that's not our character. And I believe our defense has got the ability to do some good things, really good things. You got some leadership in the defensive line, linebacker spot, and the secondary. You've got youth in there. They have a lot of spirit. They have a lot of confidence. And they know that wasn't them. on Sunday. And, you know, they'll come back, and I really truly believe that we'll play well defensively because of what their character and what they're all about. They've got a lot of pride on that side as well. I know they've challenged one another, and they know that's not us. For us to miss that many tackles is uncharacteristic. And it just comes back to getting refocused. And I do know this. They'll play hard, they'll play fast, and they'll play together, and good things will happen.
Is it good sometimes that when you have, you know, a loss or a defeat, to where you can pretty much, everybody can look in the mirror and say, boy, I really need to do better? You know, is it better to have that than to where one particular unit, whether it be offense or special teams or defense, had a failure? Is it easier to coach when as a whole it didn't work?
Well, I think, you know, you there's always times when one side does better than the other. And, I mean, you see those all the way through the year. And you don't separate it. You just say, hey, it's as a team. And, you know, the offense didn't score a lot of points. The defensive mentality is we didn't give them enough opportunities. And, you know, and vice versa. So they have that mentality. And I think what I really enjoy on the defensive side as well is that there is strong leadership. You know, there's guys like Sinderic Marks and Chris Clemens and Red Bryant and Tyson Alulu. And, you know, those guys say, hey, we'll get this right. And then linebacker Paul Pliznusi, who's saying, you know what, the linebackers will get our job right. And same thing with the secondary, guys like Alan Ball and Jonathan Cyprian.
How do you pronounce Paul Pliznusi's name?
Puz, all right.
I had to bring that up.
Really? Okay, Logs.
just moving on here. With the defense this week, Andrew Luck, one of the top, if not the top, young quarterback in the National Football League, comes in here with an 0-2 Colts football team. But to talk about him specifically, he's a quarterback that I really enjoy watching on film because the fundamentals of the game he just displays week in and week out.
Well, first of all, they are a really well-executed group. They execute. They perform at a high level. They've got good leadership and guys that have played a lot of football. Now, as far as Andrew Luck, really a student of the game. You know, besides he's got a strong arm, that's what's really important. He understands coverages, understands concepts, can get him out of good or get him out of bad plays into a good play. He's really got full command. And then on top of it, his ability to extend the play, his poise to stay in the pocket, and his arm strength and accuracy. So, yeah, he's the real deal. He's a very good quarterback.
Every quarterback seems to have one particular strength that you always want to, okay, hey, look, he does this really well. We need to guard against that. Can you even point to one thing with Andrew Luck?
Well, there's so many. There's so many things he does well. But his poise, you know, and I guess it shows with his ability to come back, bring the team back. You know, I don't know how many times they were behind the fourth quarter and he's brought them back to a victory.
11 times.
Yeah, 11 times. So, you know, that's a great quality to have as a quarterback.
I mean, that's amazing because he's in his third year. He has 22 victories as a starter in a regular season. 11 of those 22 where he had to bring him back from a deficit in the fourth quarter or in overtime. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. And he's got some talented guys around him as well, you know, at the receiving core, at the tight end position. So, you know, and he really spreads it out. He utilizes them all really well.
I thought the first play of the regular season when Indianapolis went to Denver, it was a Sunday night game. In the very first play of the game, they dial up Reggie Wayne and hit him because he is – really, he's a big leader with that football team and that offense with Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I mean, what a great credit to those guys to set that up. You know, here a guy comes back. He's the heart and soul of their team, definitely the heart and soul of their offense. And to come back and get him involved after an injury like that, I think really displays how much they think of him and value him as a player.
And he's not the only one that returns from an injury. And I believe he tore his knee in week 7 last year. So him being back, I mean, that's pretty quick. And they also have Dwayne Allen back, a tight end who had a hip injury like the first week of the season last year, had some surgery done, and he's back. He's a heck of a football player. He reminds me a lot of Mercedes Lewis. real strong blocker, and then also is a legitimate receiving option.
He is. You know, he might not be as tall as Mercedes. You know, I think he's 6'3", but very athletic and really adjusts well. When Andrew Luck extends the play, knows, you know, Andrew pretty well, and he can, you know, find some open seams, open areas, and does a great job of adjusting.
All right, we come back. We'll open the phone lines up again, folks, if you want to get in, 1-800-355-NFL1. We're locally, 904-355-6351. And we'll talk to Saqib first up when we come back right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And Jaguar fans, the segment is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Here on the Gus Bradley Show, said we're going to open up the phone lines, and as promised, we'll go to the south side and bring up Saqib. Good evening, Saqib.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Coach?
Good, Saqib. How are you doing?
You know, I just got home from work, so I'm ready to, you know, watch some football and chill out a little bit. Let me ask you something, Coach.
Okay.
Is this too much to ask for? It's my birthday Tuesday. Is this too much to ask for to get a win this week?
Well, I can tell you this. We're going to do our best, man. I really like our team's mentality going into this game. So let's do it, man. I'm all for it.
You know, let's rock this week, man. It's an opening week for us right now. You know, I'm really happy when you guys are back at home. You know, I get to see you guys a lot more. So, you know, I just want us to rock out this week, all the fans, and have fun at the bank, and like you guys said, fill up the bank, and, you know, I can't wait to see you guys this week, man. Let's do this.
I appreciate that. No, we expect a big crowd, and we expect the fans to be in it, and, you know, our players are counting on it, and, you know, it'll be a great atmosphere.
All right, thank you, Saqib. As part of having success, and we haven't talked about this yet, we talked about sacks and, you know, young wide receivers and mental errors, the running game. How fast can you expect a running game to progress from one week to the next? Because of looking at your third down distances, I think last week there were 5 of those 10 were third and 9+, I believe.
Sure. Well, I think it's very important. We have to find a way to get it going. To you know, a part of those sacks is because you don't have an established run game yet. And I believe we can get it going. You know, I know that it's going to take some time, but it doesn't mean that we can't progress a lot more than what we are. And so I think that we've got to do some things and utilize our talent, utilize Toby, utilize Denard Robinson, Todman, and find out what their strengths are, and then, you know, have the running game support their strength and, you know, go about it that way. So I'm excited about, you know, that challenge in front of us about getting the run game going.
How hard is it to work on the running game once you get into the regular season? Is because, you know, you do have some restrictions, right?
You do.
As far as
yeah.
How you practice during the course of a season.
Well, I think, you know, you've got only one day in pads, but you can do a lot of individual work, you know, and I know Luke Butkus is doing that with the offensive line and, you know, it's really spread throughout. And just like the pass game, it takes all 11, same thing with the run game.
Yeah, because I know back before they changed the rules. I mean, if the running game was poor, boys, you know, put pads on, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, you know, just shoulder pads and work on the running game, 9-on-7 period. Can't do that anymore.
No, not once you get in the regular season. You're limited to how many padded practice you have, and you have to spread that out through, you know, the 16 weeks.
Looking at the Colts' defense and their ability to stop the run, it's that defense has changed a lot. Robert Mathis is suspended, and then he tore an Achilles tendon, so he's not going to be playing all year long. Antoine Bethea, a guy who played for a very long period of time for the Colts and roamed their secondary, is no longer there. Jarrell Freeman missed last week's game with an injury. What do you see when you look at that Colts defense?
Well, you know what? They're really similar to their offense in that they don't do a lot of things, but they really execute really well. And, you know, they really play hard because of it. And so they fly around. They try to create opportunities. And we anticipate a defense that's going to try, obviously, to bring some pressure. You know, I think it'll be a different type of scheme that they use against Philadelphia. And in order for us to slow that down a little bit, we have to, you know, get a run game established.
All right. We'll take some phone calls when we come back here. Take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. Mike, Tim, hang tight. And if you want to get in, 904-355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. And we'll be right back after this here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Jaguar fans, come protect the bank this Sunday as the Jaguars take on the Colts at 1 p.m. You've got to be there for this amazing season home opener and the best game day experience in the NFL with the new world's largest video boards. Tickets are going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. All right, as promised, Gus, we'll go to the phone lines and let's bring up Mike first, who is downtown's got a question about leadership. Good evening, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Gus. Been season ticket holders since day one. Really loved you, your coaching style. I loved your comment about Andrew Luck and Reggie Wayne being the heart and soul of the team there in Indianapolis. Who do you think are the heart and soul of our offense?
Well, it's a great question. I think that, you know, Chad Henne is a strong leader. I know our guys really hold him in high regard. So right now, I would say Chad Henne. And obviously Mercedes, but he's injured now. So I think what we have the ability to have some really, really strong leaders on the offensive side. We just haven't been around long enough. But I think that you're going to see him develop. And, you know, guys like Luke Jokel, you know, guys like Allen Robinson, you know, guys like that. I think they just, you know, Denard Robinson is a guy that really comes every day. So I think that his leadership is being developed. It takes time. I can remember when I was in Seattle, Cam Chancellor, I asked him to be the leader when he was a rookie. And he's like, I don't even know where my locker is yet. I don't even know the playbook yet. And it just takes time. But guys can develop that. And I think we're really excited about what is to come with these guys.
It's a great question by Mike.
It really is
because, you know, when players are young, you got to have success before you can be a leader. And you guys are so young. I mean, they haven't had a track record of success yet to get in front of the room and command a room and have respect.
Right. And I think, you know, right now that's why we're challenging our guys with, you know, the leadership style for us is just help everybody get better. Just help your teammate get better. That you can do as a rookie. Maybe they're not comfortable in standing up in front of the group and saying something, but that part of leadership they can do. And if we get 63 guys or 53 guys that can do that, you know, that just makes our team stronger, and we can start that process right now.
When you have a young room like that, does some of that leadership got to be replaced by coaches, doesn't it?
It does. I think that, you know, for coaches, it's our job to show leadership until we see them take it over. And that's the strongest leadership is when they take it over and it's going in the right direction. So we're continually talking to them, and you know we're looking to see them take ownership of it. And I will say this, that we made great strides in that. They have taken over just by holding each other accountable, how they come out to practice after a difficult loss like we had. You know, you're seeing it, and it's strong, so there's not a doubt that it will develop even more.
All right, as promised, we'll go talk to Tim on the south side. He's got a question about new rules. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. How you doing, Tim?
For both of you, the new rules with, you know, the limited contact and so forth, you know, how much has that been taken out of the game? It's like coaching and, you know, a couple, you know, I've always heard, you know, there's being shape and there's football shape. And with the limited number of practices you can have on contact, is that really taken away from the, you know, the coaching and the players, you know, actually performing?
It's a good question. Does, and thank you, Tim, for the call. Does the rules take away from your ability to coach as far as the rules on pads and practice and such? And my opinion on that has always been, if it's the same for everybody, It doesn't.
Right. And you got to be creative in how you coach and how you teach and how you take them through a practice and your individual drills. And but there's ways you can do it. You know, some, if you have one day a padded practice, that's the day you practice tackling. And, you know, you just have to move some things around to make sure you take advantage of those days when you do have pads.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back. I got a question for you about what you might tell your team this week before they take the field against the Indianapolis Colts here at home. And we'll do that here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman joined by the head coach in the last segment here. Gus, you know, when you talk to your team the night before the game, typically that's, you know, a lasting strong message to let them sleep on and then to carry into game day. What do you tell your football team, you know, leading into this home opener?
Well, you know what we talk about, I can, you know, the exact message. But
without the PowerPoint, because
audio. That's right, man. No, it's a championship opportunity. It's every week. I mean, we're playing at home. We got a great opportunity to come back and be at our best. And great progress is going to be made. And don't miss it now. Don't miss it. And let's be all about this opportunity, and let's go capture it.
Sounds like, let's go.
Logs, you're great, man.
Let's go. I got one play in me. Give me an hour to warm up.
Onside kick, man.
Folks, thanks for listening to the Gus Bradley Show. For those in Jacksonville, keep listening because J.P. Shadwick and Tony Boselli are in the house. For those not, you can go to jaguars.com and listen. Talk to everybody next week.